This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Chair Shot NFL. You can follow us at Chair Shot NFL. My name is PC Tunney. You can follow me at PC Tunney. I am joined by the IW War Chief, Andrew Belaz. You can follow him at IWC War Chief. And none other than the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Ray Cash. You can follow him at It's Ray Cash. R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in Dallas. Hi, guys. We're back from our bye week, a.k.a. Tony was sick last week. Andrew lost power. Ray was ready to go, but not willing to go solo.
Was I, though?
You looked like you messaged Andrew, hey, what, are we ready to record? And Andrew was like, well, here's the thing. I'm ready, but the lack of power is making it impossible.
Correct.
So that's what I texted the group, but secretly I texted Andrew, just keep saying no.
Hey, tell Tony when I ask you if we're going to record that you don't have any power.
I mean,
you're smart.
We can say it now. It's happened. We're a week past it.
I don't believe you, I mean, but whatever.
You know, Ray needed a bye week. It's okay. Like, I understand. Full Dante from Clerks. He doesn't even want to be here today. So, like,
I did suck it up.
I
did suck it up and do a alcohol-free edition of DWI the next day, though.
Wow, yeah. That's painful.
It probably was to listen to. I don't know.
Can I give a shout out?
Maybe.
Can I give a shout out to the Buffalo Bills for taking away all of the negative shit that the Ravens should have got this week? Josh Allen, keep getting the text, big homie.
God, yeah, fucking. You.
Well, Ken Dorsey, they fired him. You got to get rid of somebody.
He had a tantrum like a four-year-old. Like, I love how everybody clipped that and just played it over and over and over again. Him just, like, slamming the desk and throwing papers and, like, what the fuck, dude? You're a grown-ass man.
Tell me, Andrew, you can't tell me you wouldn't do that if it was your job to tell Josh Allen not to do the shit he does.
If I knew there were cameras everywhere, there were multi-millionaires everywhere, and it was just my job to tell him what to do and watch him fuck it up, I'd be mad, but then I'd take that back in the locker room and freak out on him instead of doing it in front of cameras like a fucking child.
I would sit him down and I would say, Josh, here's what I need you to do. When you have the ball in your hands and you're in the pocket, when you're running with the ball and you have the ball, and when you're throwing the ball, practice one thing for me.
Cuidado. Mucho cuidado. No más intercepciones, no more turnover.
You gotta say it in French. He does live in Buffalo.
What's that?
What does Buffalo have to do with France?
Canada. French Canada. I know technically Toronto is English Canada, but it's close enough.
I was going to say Quebec's a little further over. Like, you know, that's the only one that really speaks French. It's New York. He's got a better chance of speaking Spanish than French in New York, even if it's Buffalo. But I don't know. Like, the Bills were fucking dumpster fire.
The other thing,
week, holy, this past weekend, whatever. Fuck no, it was.
What yeah, they are is fugazi.
We've talked enough about the Bills. How about the fact that
we knew they were fugazi coming into this season?
How about
like,
the fact
was high on
no,
them.
No. How about the fact that the Browns continue to brown? And after a huge win over the Ravens, a big comeback victory, Deshaun Watson, $246 million guaranteed. He is out for the season.
Where you took that statement. Okay, I wasn't sure how much of a dick you were going to be.
We can be as much as we want because it's Deshaun Watson in the Browns.
Do you
so
think that massage therapy will be something that's needed from
I
recovering from the surgery?
I thought the aspect was going to be against the Ravens because the Ravens lost to a guy with one arm and one leg.
Yeah.
And he still went 14 for 14 in the second half and came back on the team. That's where I thought you were going to go.
Can I tell you what when my homeboy texted me that? Can I tell you what I responded to him? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Amen.
Wow. Yeah, so he's gotten paid, what, $90 million over the last two seasons for 11 starts? Is that roughly what it is?
55, yeah, so I think it's 55 a year.
Okay, and he's played like half of 2 years, so whatever the difference is, if some of that's tied into game checks and incentive-based stuff, so yeah. That's starting to look like a Emmitt Smith to the Cardinals kind of contract right there.
Fully guaranteed, by the way. No, you know what it's looking like, Andrew? Rafe LaFrance. You remember that name?
Is Dorian Thompson Robinson
starting?
Not when
starting? I'm drinking.
is DTR starting this weekend?
No, yes. No. It's gonna be the fighting
soul Walker?
Of the XFL, PJ Walker. Yeah,
I got you.
I thought it was DTR.
PJ's a starter.
I don't know. CBS Sports has DTR as the number one.
It's going to be week four all over again.
I've watched ESPN all day long, and they've said it's PJ. So unless something changed in the afternoon.
No, that's what I heard, too. I was just wondering because I just seen that. So
Andrew Siciliano of NFL matters. Network said that Stefanski stated DTR will get the nod for week 11.
Well, that's higher upside, but it's also a way bigger chance for bad things to happen.
I don't think they beat the Steelers like that with that quarterback.
So look, somebody, please.
We'll see.
Can we like pop this bubble, this bubble of the Steelers? Can someone just like stick your leg out in the middle of the aisle and trip them?
What is there to pop? They get outgained in every game they're in, but they still find bullshit ways to win the game. Like they're losing on every other like calculable stat except the score. Like, the
Mike
only
Tomlin.
Thing you have to do is actually finish the fucking drive in the end zone.
Could Mike Tomlin be a candidate for a midseason Coach of the Year award? All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to start with our midseason
awards. What if I don't
want
to take a break, Tony? What if I don't want to?
Then head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com /TheChairShot order yourself a Chair Shot t-shirt while you listen to a Chair Shot commercial. Ray Cash, Andrew Blaz, BC Tunney, Chair Shot Week 11 here, Chair Shot NFL. Ray, stop frazzling me, man. You frazzled me.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back to ChairShot NFL. Like I said before, head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com /TheChairShot. Grab yourself a t-shirt. Get it in soft style. Feels oh so good up against your body. Like that, Ray, on your nipples.
Just touch your body.
TheChairShot.com and ProWrestlingTees.com /TheChairShot. We got your nipples covered. Okay.
So
everybody
in the
league has played
these of the website community.
Oh boy. Everybody in the league has played at least 9 games. So we are past that halfway threshold of the season.
Yeah.
We all are going to give our awards away. What do you guys want to start with? The coach, go to rookie, go to defense, then MVP. Should we go in that order?
MVP is probably the only one that's going to have real like depth. I think rookie of the year, defensive player of the year, pretty locked. Right now, and coach of the year is between two people.
All right. Well, let's see how it goes here. Do you want to start us off with Coach of the Year, Ray, or you want me to?
No, I'll start it off. And so everything in me can't give it to Mike Tomlin. I just can't. While he's very deserving of it, because, again, as me and Andrew just spoke about, they should have lost every game. They should right now. They should be in line for Caleb Williams, but they're 6-3. But I have to give it to the fighting kneecaps, Mr. Dan Campbell,
really,
because we expected them to be good, but not 7-2. And mind you, 7-2, one game was kind of in flux. They got blown out by Baltimore, so they could easily be 8-1 right now. 7-2, and they control their destiny right now in the NFC. And I get Philly's 8-1, they're great. But if you look at them week to week, who looks better? I would argue right now Detroit looks better than Philly. So, yeah, Dan Campbell, man, that boy's done work. And also, when have we ever given the Lions credit for anything other than the jerseys and, like, something to watch on Thanksgiving?
When have they been good enough to actually give them any flowers, though?
1990, they went to the NFC Championship.
No, they had the 1 year Stafford. Or 91 or 90. They had the one year Stafford and Megatron went to the playoffs.
Sure.
2010, I think it was. That's
something
it.
Like that. Yeah. But
what do you got, Andrew?
Get what I'm generally speaking about.
who you got, Andrew?
I do like Campbell. Campbell's in my top three because I kind of, it's only halfway through, so I kind of wanted to open it up a little more than a front runner, but especially after the last 2 weeks and the bounce back, like Kevin O'Connell and the Pastronaut making the Vikings look tolerable and like they got a shot, like that's got to be a little bit of coaching right there too, because we saw Josh Dobbs has been passed around. You can insert an analogy as much as you want, you know, however you want to play with it. But we've seen him on Arizona earlier this year. He didn't look as good as he did the last game in relief of whatever the hell you want to call the other game before. So I got to give O'Connell a little bit of credit, you know.
Let's play who could do the worst pass along analogy. I got one that's horrible. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
No, we might get kicked out the air. I'll text it to you.
Say it.
Yeah, that's a smarter idea. We don't want to be like that other football show that got kicked off the air.
Do you want me to say it? I can say it. It's bad. We won't get kicked off, but it's bad. I'm not proud of it, but it's funny. Passed around more than a stripper at a Duke party.
That one's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad, but it's not that bad.
You know what?
I didn't specify what type of Duke party.
Correct. You didn't. So you were vague enough that it was bad, but it wasn't too terrible. Yeah.
Yep. Ambiguity.
Do you know how to make a hormone? Don't pair.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's a lot cleaner
normally,
than you thought, eh? It's a lot cleaner than
like
you thought.
You're like the Dan Orlovsky of this show with your jokes. That was the one out of 10 that's good.
Ray kind of popped up for that one. Yeah. Okay.
So, Tony, do you have a different one than O'Connell or
I do.
Kneecaps?
Yeah, I do.
Ooh.
I really do.
Mike Tomlin.
I really do. I do not have Mike Tomlin. And I really like both of your picks because they were both on my radar. I think Sirianni is a guy who's, you're not going to get enough credit for the job he's doing, right? Like, you're already there, so you just don't do
it. Just like Andy Reid,
exactly.
You know, anywhere else, I mean, if you look in the AFC, I just don't think the Dolphins haven't beaten anybody, right? They've lost to all the good teams they've played. The Ravens have blown those three games, so that's tough. And then the Jaguars, after the bad loss, Andy Reid's another guy, too, right? Like, in that era with Sirianni. So, you know, if the playoffs started tomorrow, you know the Houston Texans would be in the playoffs, right?
I was going to say DeMeco needs to be in the conversation, dog. That's
right
a
now,
great pick.
DeMeco Ryans is my coach of the year. And,
let's go.
You know, a team that is forgotten, a team that we put at the bottom of our power rankings consistently very, very early in the season and to start the season.
Not we.
Andrew and I. But... A few of us,
and it's not like they won those first couple games either.
And that's fine.
No, you did.
Let me finish.
You were on the train.
Let me finish, though. The moves the GM made in this draft to go ahead and get Stroud, right, to get those two first-round draft picks changes the culture of this team in an atmosphere in a team that needed a culture change and a change of tune, because no one thought that this could get turned around this quickly, because no one wanted to be there. Nobody wanted to be in Houston after what happened there. And for this to be turned around this quickly, whether or not, you know, they got 8 games left, whether or not they go 2-6 and end up 7-10, it's still going to be a good building block to start the season. I don't see that happening. Yeah, I'll just keep it moving and go right into Rookie of the Year, because it's CJ Stroud. The guy's got 15 touchdowns, interceptions. He threw for 470 yards that one game. I mean, he's setting...
Against the Bucks, yeah.
You're right. He's I think he has the second or third highest passer rating. He's like second or third in yards.
Something like that, yeah.
The guy's amazing in his first 9 games into the league, or 8 games or so into the league. And I'm sure it's the same for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
So just real fast. You spoke about Houston and their fantastic 2 picks this year. Right now, if things stay the same, Carolina will have the number 1 pick, which gets sent to Chicago. Chicago should have number 1 and probably number 4. Chicago, if you're listening, shout out to my boy Patrick O'Dowd. Trade Justin Fields to the Raiders.
To the Michigan Wolverines for Jim Harbaugh. Justin Fields will be actually a good quarterback in the league he's in again, and then the Chicago Bears will have Jim Harbaugh.
Trade him to the Raiders for 2 2s and a 3rd. Get Caleb Williams, get Marvin Harrison, and hire Jim Harbaugh, and thank me later.
You got CJ Stroud, good. Though? You got Stroud as well, Ray, obviously?
Yeah, okay. I told you, yeah, of course. Yeah. And Defensive Player of the Year, we can go ahead and get that out the way. It's Myles Garrett. What's next?
Okay, I agree.
I disagree.
Ooh.
You both have Myles Garrett?
Is it? Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. No, Defensive Player of the Year actually is Roger Goodell. Continue.
It's the refs. That's who it is. It's been the refs the whole time.
You picked up what I was putting down. There you go.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett has 11 sacks, and he's done a hell of a job on the field and is the anchor of that defense. My defensive player of the year is TJ Watt.
Yeah, I felt it.
He's got 10.5 sacks, though.
He has a half a sack less. I think tackles for loss are pretty similar. He has an interception. He also has 3 fumble recoveries and a touchdown. It's a coin toss, Ray. It really is.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Myles Garrett is the most dominant defensive player in the league right now. But just going by the same record, a little bit better stat line. That's all. And this year isn't over yet either, right? And that doesn't the stats don't always tell the true tale. But for me right now, that's they got him a close 1-2 like that. So hey, it's midseason. Don't really mean anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Hooray that both of those guys are in my division. Go us.
All right, MVP. Who wants? Does anybody want to go first?
Let Andrew go first. He hadn't gone first yet.
All right.
Sure. Just because they usually won't give it to a rookie, so I know lots of people might think Stroud will take both. They usually don't do that, so I'm just going to play in the space that they'll give him Rookie of the Year and not MVP. And so far, numbers-wise, I have to give it to Tua. Like, he's put up a bunch of numbers. He looks good when they went. Yeah, of course, they haven't beat anybody, but that's not normally what they go with. They go with overall record and how good he looks. And he's looked good. He's got the numbers to back it up. I thought of a couple others, but Tua's kind of barely over the other guy that I had in my list.
So I wanted to give it to Tua. I really tried to find somebody who nobody's taking the award. Nobody's running with it. Nobody says this is mine yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I can't give it to Tua in good conscience because, yeah, they haven't beat anybody, and that matters to me. But if they were 8-1 and hadn't beat anybody, okay, but you still are 8-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've lost 3 games, they're not even one of the top 2 teams in their conference. I don't just because your number's good, that's Justin Herbert. I don't know if I could do that. I can't give it to Jalen Hurts because he hasn't looked good all year. I can't give it to Pat Mahomes because he hasn't looked great all year. Granted, what he's dealing with.
I think Ray's going to steal mine.
I know
Ray might land on the guy I had at number 2. So I like where he's going.
And I did not want to pick Lamar Jackson, but it has to be Lamar Jackson.
That's not
me.
That's not who I had at number two.
Here are my legitimate reasons. Number one, Jalen Hurts has A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's had a dominant year.
Yes, yes.
Pat Mahomes has Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's had a dominant year.
Sure.
Tua Tagovailoa has Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's had a dominant
year. See, I would live in that space. I wouldn't compare him to Mahomes or Hurts as far as MVP goes because, be honest with you, like you just said, Mahomes and Hurts aren't even in the fucking conversation. Their teams are the best in each of their conferences.
I'm not talking about players. I'm talking about best teams.
Well, but you're talking about the MVP, though.
Well, but you're not letting me finish. I am. What I'm saying is I'm narrowing down the best teams and the quarterbacks, people, if you're going by records and best teams, all of these, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, really good year, even though Burrow's been hurt. What I'm saying is you put all of the people around him and all those people have one guy who's been dominant all year. You can guarantee, boom. Who's Lamar had? Zay Flowers? Good year.
Mark Andrews.
Right? But not a dominant year like these other guys. Good year. Like, we live and die with Lamar more than any other team in the league. And on top of that, we've had a 10-point lead in every game this year. And the reason we've lost the three games is because Lamar didn't play great.
Well,
that kind of invalidates your pick a little bit, though.
No. What I mean is,
framed it.
No. Listen to the wording. He didn't play great.
Correct.
Every other quarterback.
You just
quarterback,
put the onus
finish,
of the loss
finish,
on Lamar.
Let me finish.
So.
No, I didn't. You're not hearing the wording. He didn't play great.
Uh-huh.
Every other quarterback in the league doesn't have to be great for their teams to win. Lamar is the only quarterback that has to be far above and beyond ridiculously great every year. Our number one running back.
I get
gone.
Your point.
First game of the season.
I get your point.
Yeah. So my point is,
I think Andrew's just necessarily saying to his side that doesn't necessarily mean. It probably means what you want it to mean 80% of the time, and the other 20%, Andrew's saying, well, maybe he just needs better fucking players around him, too. And which you would agree to that, too. You know what I mean?
Well, sure, but that's everybody.
And that's kind of your point. That's kind of your point. He's doing more with less than anybody else.
He also has to. So when Patrick Mahomes can have a mediocre game, they can still win a game. Jared Goff can have a mediocre game. They can still win a game. Lamar Jackson can never have a mediocre game and the team can win. And we have the number one defense in the league. So to me, that's the MVP. And we're 7-3 and should have won all 10 games. That's the MVP to me, given nobody else is taking it. So I got Lamar.
Well, you guys both pick two quarterbacks that I don't have as MVP. In fact, I don't even have a quarterback as MVP.
Oh, you decided to go that route. Okay.
I got Run CMC. The guy's got 13 touchdowns. He leads the league in rushing. He's throwing in another 300 and almost 400 yards receiving. Like, honestly, San Francisco is the most talented team in the league. And without him, their chances drop significantly as far as winning the Super Bowl, in my opinion. Like, I just think Christian McCaffrey had the touchdown streak going to the midseason. I would give it to him. Just because all the quarterbacks, none of them really stand out. I mean, like, I'd give it to C.J. Stroud over Tua or Lamar, to be honest with you.
I'd give it to Tyreek over Tua. I don't think Tua's the guy.
I think Tyreek
is having such an amazing year.
Yeah.
He deserves the conversation.
And the problem with Lamar is, you're right, Ray. It's just his stat line is not awesome. Is not, you know, there. So it's tough.
So,
and I'm not trying to devalue your argument.
I'm just telling you why I think that is,
you know.
Genuine question. And you can look up, you can Google search all this shit.
I'm not making this up. What's the Vegas
odds
for MVP
right now? Hold on. Look, genuine question. Look up yourself. Before the Ravens lost that game, what they did, who was the front runner for MVP? Most people said Lamar was.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, most people, a lot of people also had the Ravens as the best team in the league before last week.
I think there's still an argument the Ravens are the best team in the league.
That's fair. No one's saying that they're garbage. I'm just saying a lot of people kind of crowned them as the best team in the league because they were looking really good for that stretch.
Sure.
And then this kind of brought everything back down to earth in a sense. And yeah, the only reason I was kind of on your case a little bit is because the framing, I get your framing was the fact that he has to be the best player. So he has to take everything on his back and carry the team. But the way a lot of the analysts look at that is because the onus is on Lamar, it's going to count as a negative, not a positive.
Well, I'm clearly looking something up. You guys just stop talking.
Oh, it looks like Ray might be preoccupied for a second.
Oh, I see. I see what happened.
Yes. So that I was kind of hoping you'd fill in on the response back.
Sorry, my mom called me. Sorry.
No, shit happens.
I wasn't listening. I'm trying to find the odds for current odds for NFL MVP.
Like I said, the long and short was just because of the way it was framed is that since the onus is on Lamar, even though he has to carry the team on his back, it's still going to, people are still going to look at it like Lamar didn't win those games. Lamar lost those games because of whatever the reasons happen to be. So you're not wrong in what you were saying at all. Like your evaluation is correct, but because it all comes back down to Lamar, because he's the best player on the team and the only great player, if we want to just kind of bracket that as who's the great player on the team, and like you were with the Travis Kelce's and the AJ Browns and stuff like that, he has to have a monster season just to, I think, eclipse the Jared Goffs, the Tuas, the, you know, even Mahomes on a mediocre year just because he's got the name value. Because if people can point at too much of, well, Lamar lost that game, or they had a chance to win that game and he squandered it away because Lamar threw an interception, or he fumbled, or it was a 3-and-out or something like that. No, it's going to count worse against him than against previously mentioned quarterbacks.
It is, but it's the LeBron conundrum. It's the LeBron conundrum. Like, perfect example is that the infamous series LeBron, when they Miami lost to Dallas, LeBron didn't show up, right? LeBron almost averaged a triple-double. So it's like, but because he didn't take the bull by the horns and say, this is mine now, people say, oh, well, you didn't show up. LeBron had a fantastic series. He just deferred to Dwayne Wade, which was a problem and needed to be fixed. But like, so in the same results. And also, the numbers don't match what the other great quarterbacks are doing wise with Lamar. I know his touchdowns aren't great, but if you look between the numbers, completion percentage is like 69% or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
His rushing yards, the number of first downs he's rushed for comparatively to the number of
yards, right?
Yeah, comparatively to how many rushes he's had. Whereas last year he was rushing like crazy. Now he's rushing on a smarter level. The number of people he's connecting to per game is way different, of way higher than it was before. So, like, he's a better quarterback. He's spreading the offense around a little more. He's getting everybody involved in a way that he's never gotten involved before because we've never had this much talent before. But ultimately, because we don't have – and Mark Andrews is amazing. He's just not having a Mark Andrews year, like year this year. But – you can go down the line of every great team and they have one dude you can say is having an amazing year. Baltimore doesn't have that. Same reason defensively. Number one defense scoring wise, number one in sacks. All these great years. You know, Smith leads the league in interceptions. We don't have that one great pass rusher. So it's really a win by committee type deal. And Lamar has to be greater than everybody else. So mm-hmm.
You're completely right, but I don't think we've touched on this since the offseason stuff. So since we're on the Ravens, I'm curious what your opinion is on this. Everybody thought that Odell was going to be the shot in the arm that the offense needed, and there was going to be some kind of magical combination. What do you think is the issue with that? Or, you know, is there not really an issue when it's just other things?
There's not an issue. I can't speak for people who aren't Ravens fans or tapped into the team. No Ravens fan expected Odell to be Odell. We wanted Odell to be a guy who could take advantage of the position of the role he has now, being essentially a Z receiver.
Yeah.
Because the problem is Rashad Bateman hasn't shown up this year. He was expected to be better. Zay Flowers has done his thing. Mark Andrews has had a good year comparatively, just not a great year. Nobody expected Odell to be New York Odell.
I meant the early buzz kind of was leaning that way, especially after the Rams year. And
all right, you guys got about 2 minutes left of Ravens talk here.
Wow.
Yeah, going with all that.
Maybe if
Jesus Christ, let's talk about the Ravens. They're not even the best team in football. And you've argued about Lamar Jackson being the MVP for 10 minutes.
Hey, I'm having a conversation with my friend Andrew. So you can just sit up there. But no, ultimately, long story short, don't ignore the fact that we're week 10 and Odell was hurt for 4 or 5 weeks. Don't ignore that part. That's a major thing. Because remember, he didn't have any training camp.
Yep.
So, like, you know, he's getting back in gear. If you saw the burst on the 40-plus yard touchdown he had this week, seems to be getting back into form. We just need him to be just like he was in L.A., a great route runner that has separation once he can get past the guy. That's all we need.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into the power.
More Ravens talk.
Yeah, it's going to be more Ravens fucking talk because we're going to do the power rankings. So stay tuned here. Chairshot NFL Week 11. Ray Cash, Andrew Belaz, PC Tunney right here. Chairshot Radio Network, thechairshot.com, prowrestlingtees.com, /thechairshot. We'll be right back.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, ChairShot NFL, here as we preview week 11. But before we do, we're going to get into a little bit of power rankings here. Andrew, are you ready to go here? Are you ready to miss your cue once again?
Can you say that, please?
Shut up, Ray! I couldn't have done that last week, that's for sure. I would have been like,
that's good. You just been dry heating all over the place.
Have you ever heard of a reverse exorcism?
Wait, what's going into you then?
You ever heard of a reverse exorcism?
No, but now I'm curious what's going in.
That's when the devil tells the priest to get out of the boy.
We start off power rankings, everybody. You had one good one, Tony. That's good.
Whatever, that was funny too.
Alrighty, so it sounded like everybody had a top 10 all prepped and ready for this, right?
I do not.
So then, okay.
It's
so
your show!
The prepared professionals can go.
Our show.
That's me and Ray. That's good old Ravens Ray over there, so... Who do you have at 10, Ray?
Ravens. Ask him who he has at 9. Ravens. Who's at 8, Ray? Ravens. 7?
I'm not that
it's the
bad.
Ravens, but it's spelled R-E-Y-V-E-N-S.
R-E-Y-V-E-N-S.
6 is the Ravens.
5
is the Ravens.
Just a second ago.
4 is the Eagles. 3 is the Ravens. 2 is the Ravens. 1 is the Baltimore Ravens.
Say hi to the homie Ricky.
He got the Eagles at 4, though.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, the Eagles are at 4, yes. gotta shut them out.
Birds for the feather, right? At number 10, I have sneaking into the top 10, a team that you didn't believe in. I told you to. Shout out to the Houston Texans.
You want to know something funny?
You got
I have them at 10, too.
Let's
go. You guys should hold hands. Wow. And then there you go. I was like, why don't you guys hold hands? And then there you go.
I mean, they've shown up the last couple weeks, and Stroud is fucking balled out, and they look like a complete team, which I couldn't have said in the beginning of the year, because you were on the train. No one's ever going to doubt that. You were probably the biggest Texans supporter that wasn't actually a Texans fan.
Not big enough to put his money where his mouth is, though. He's not the one that picked up C.J. Stroud in his fantasy football league.
Why would I want to have Justin Herbert and Tua? What are you talking about?
That's a point, too.
But it's really important to note what C.J. Stroud did last week in Cincy. He did not have Nico Collins, and he did not have Damian Pierce. That's major. That boy did that with the backups. So shout out to him.
Yeah, though there's still some pretty good receivers out there. Tank and the tight end.
Sure, but the number one guy is Nico. The number one guy.
I think it's more of like an amalgamation of a bunch of twos out there.
No, it's number one.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Do you not feel strongly about a 10 either way, though?
I'm like, anytime I disagree with Ray, I'm hating.
Pretty much.
He got better from the flu with all that hatred he drank opinion, last week, sir. You know?
Just because there I don't have a good football team doesn't mean I'm not allowed to have an opinion, all right?
Mm-hmm. So what's your opinion? What's number 10?
Yeah, what's 10 then, bud?
I don't have a top 10. I'll just comment on you guys.
Don't have an opinion. There you go.
All right.
I will not be given shit.
Purely at 9. I have them purely at 9 because of what happened to Watson is the Browns. I feel like the team with Watson would have been a slightly higher team, but without them, they're like a barely making the playoffs kind of team because that defense is fucking elite. So the defense might drag them to enough wins to make the playoffs.
So I had the same conundrum you had. I have them higher because I didn't punish them for that until this week. I want to reward them for what they've done to this point.
Sure. And so, that's fair.
Yeah, so after this week, they slide for sure. But what they've done, I got them a little higher. My number 9 is Jacksonville. They're friends with their cousins in Baltimore and Buffalo, both the Fugazi twins.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's Fugazi. I mean, I think Brock Purdy owns did he get the lease from Tony Khan to the Jacksonville Jaguars?
He got the Duval keys, is that what you're saying?
I think so. So, yeah, that was bad.
I don't disagree, but I dropped the Jags out of my top 10 just because they went on a weird slide earlier in the year. They started to look good, and then that turnover bullshit started up again this week, and I'm like, they can't keep that crap up. Like,
I got a weird stat for you.
When that happens.
A weird stat for you.
Shoot.
They're 4-0 on the road and 2-3 at home.
Wow.
Wild.
The Tony Khan curse. That's what it is.
Fulham doesn't win at their field either. Must be a Tony Khan thing.
It could be, because remember, it's Kenny Omega, not Kenny Alpha. So that could be the problem.
All right, I got a top 10. Where are we at? Fuck you. Don't start. You're going to give me shit. I got a top 10. Blow it out your ass. Where are you at? 8?
We're at 9 right now. So what was your 10 and go to 9?
10's Pittsburgh, 9's Dallas.
I have them slightly higher, but I like where you're going with it. Because I have Dallas at 8.
Ray doesn't want to look me in the eyes anymore. Oh, he's back.
No, that joke was so funny. You messed my internet up. So thank you.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there's more where that came from, buddy.
We're at 8?
We're at 8. I have the boys.
I got Jacksonville.
I have the boys, too. I got Dallas.
They still got Jacksonville in the top 10.
Which is fine. Like, that's just that game last week left a bad taste in my mouth that reminded me of
NFL,
like week 3
though,
and 4 earlier this year. And I'm like, when they look bad, they look fucking incompetent.
In the NFL, though, we've gotten to the point now where you can take the best game away and the worst game away, and everything in the middle is what they really are.
Your teachers graded on a curve a lot in school, didn't they?
No, not at all. I was in all honors classes, you asshole. I was thinking, like, my whole senior year of high school was AP classes.
Oh, God. So. That is the greatest in-your-face diss, I didn't mean to diss, I've ever heard. Hey. You just graded on a lot of curves, huh? Wow. Shout out to the Milwaukee ISD.
I didn't go to public. Well, I went to public high school. I did. Yeah, that's true. Not Milwaukee. Suburb.
Jesus Christ. Lord. The Okeechobee ISD.
Oh my God. Shout out to public. All right. Number 7. I got Miami.
I've got the Ravens at 7. No offense, but like, God, with that loss, they slid. fit for me.
Yeah, all that placating he did while you were talking Lamar Jackson with him, he doesn't believe any of your
There's
shit,
nothing
right?
wrong with Lamar
yeah,
Jackson.
See, no, like, no. He doesn't believe in the Ravens.
Everything right.
He doesn't believe in Lamar Jackson. This is Andrew. This is not me. This is a bullshit. Oh, okay. He's got him at 7. I don't have him at 7. That's Andrew.
But you dropped us to this, 7 for the, like,
see?
Literally
see? Yeah,
9 minutes of bad football?
Oh, I'm talking to my friend Andrew. Is he your friend now, motherfucker?
God.
I love how catty this episode is. It's just great.
Yeah, I love it too.
PC stands for petty child right now. My God.
Yeah, it does.
No, it's... Never mind. I'm not going to say that.
So, Andrew, I'm a bit taken aback. But I'm gonna leave with love.
My friend Andrew, I'm taken aback.
And move forward amicably.
Oh, my okay, God. Okay. Whatever.
My
Screw
number
you guys.
7.
That's bullshit. This is total BS.
You ever seen a 40-year-old virgin? But we're gonna we're gonna move forward amicably.
amicably.
No, I got San Francisco at 7.
Mm. Okay.
I'll be honest. I was torn between the two. I wasn't sure where I was throwing the Niners and the Ravens.
These
so.
Are power rankings, not regurgitate the standards rankings, guys. Come on, have some balls here. Let's go. Y'all know that those teams,
wow.
that team
you,
was way
so
higher.
Who's at 7 for you again, Schmucko?
San Francisco Miami. San Francisco would be way higher. San Francisco lost 3 horrible games. No,
correct.
They have to earn it.
So beat you want to know? You want to know who else lost 3 horrible games? Yeah. Pick up your flag that's sitting next to you.
Not in a row, you bastard.
Does it matter? Does it matter? Does it matter? He kind of took the L there. He kind of took the L there, didn't he, Andrew? Andrew,
point,
he took the L there.
We were at least winning.
Oh yeah.
10 minutes left. They got blown out in all 3. Don't
he's not even mad at me. He's just consoling right himself now. Right now.
Almost, man. You about to make Ray. You should come out here right now. What's up, bro?
This is the best episode of Chair Shot NFL ever.
Motherfucker.
Go ahead. So who's getting pissed. For the 9th time, it's fucking Miami, the paper champions of the fucking NFL, Miami. Love to watch them on TV. Don't think they have a fucking snowball's chance of hell of winning a playoff game.
Yeah, well. See, the problem is Ray's not going to be happy with who I have at 6 either, because I put the Steelers at 6 because of whatever the fuck Mike Tomlin sold his soul to. Like,
Ray,
they just win games.
Oh, see, yeah. And I'm the asshole. I'm the asshole. Your friend, that's your friend Andrew. Your friend, he can't even hear me now, but you know what I'm saying. There's your friend Andrew, but I'm the asshole. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Who do you have at 6 then?
Okay.
Because Ray can't hear right now.
I got. Oh, he's gonna write. He's using the whiteboard. This is great. This is great. Oh, this is so much fun. Ray is about to. He can't hear anything we're saying. He's putting something up. I can't. He quit. You can't. That doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. You can't just quit. Go ask Platt about that.
No, Platt did quit. He had a kid and just stopped getting on the internet.
I'll be honest with you. That guy almost showed up tonight.
Just replace me with the other black guy in the group. So call Rob, Chris, and you'll be fine. Nobody will ever knows the difference.
I think it's less about black guys and more about my friend Ray. And you know, and who's not your friend, Andrew over there for the fucking
what
5th
the fuck?
Time today. Yeah.
The Steelers win by bullshit, and I have to finally give them
I have
some
someone
kind of credit because they've been out of
I have
my
someone
top
at,
10 all year.
I have someone at 6.
So put them at 10. Put them at 9.
I have someone
they're
at
not that bad. They're not worse than the Browns. The Browns are going to be starting DTR. What
I don't even
fuck?
Have the Browns on my power rankings. Deshaun Watson's out. I do not have him on my power rankings. Power. Power rankings.
Well,
power.
Have,
as of right now, of for their power. 6, I got Seattle. Where's Seattle on you guys' list?
Well, I have nowhere. They got the ass beat last week. I have Cleveland at 6. Oh, because
okay,
again,
from what you said, giving them the flowers for last week, that makes sense.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm starting my power rankings literally at Monday ends.
They won last week.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
The Browns did, yes.
Seattle?
That's what
Seattle
6.
Won last week.
Seattle
barely won.
They're 6-3. They're 6-3. They play the extra game. They have the same fucking record as the Ravens.
They beat Rutgers. He's got a point
the same,
there.
We don't have the same record.
Oh, come on. I said to give the extra game
back. It's like
back,
the Giancarlo Esposito meme. It's just like, we have the same record, but we're not the same.
I feel like Rodney Dangerfield today. That's fine. Keep going.
Okay,
you think
so
Seattle's going to win a game in the playoffs?
I have Seattle representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
That is true.
Far as my preseason picks go. And I think next week we should make our midseason picks.
That means he wants to change his pick. So
maybe,
we shouldn't do it next week.
Maybe. Maybe not.
When you said we were passing something around earlier, I think we know what we were passing around attorney. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. It's not those two pitchers of margaritas either. So for five, I got the Niners. Because they might not have beaten anybody, but they actually looked like they were finally back to full power. And they looked like they did when they were 5-0. You know what I mean? Like, so I think they're kind of getting their swag back. If they don't continue it and they continue to have some of their weird hiccups, they may slide back down. But I feel like this was enough of that, oh, look, the boys are back kind of thing. So
yeah, they played Jacksonville.
I give them a little bit of an extra. Well, the Jaguars were decent this year, even though they've had their weird spotty time.
At number five, and only because I thought about it, if number five played four, five played three, five played two, five played one, would they have a chance? I think they'd have no shot in hell. I have Detroit.
I disagree.
Really good team.
Well, I mean,
really
I have,
good team, but I don't think they're beating any of the top four teams.
I have the Baltimore Ravens at five.
Y'all just 9 minutes of football. My God.
I think they're the fifth best team in the league. That's my personal opinion. I don't think the margin between these top five teams. I think it's honestly these five teams and this Baltimore and the next four teams I'm about to say. It's like almost a coin flip a lot. These five teams, I think, are the five teams, to be honest with you, this year.
Hey. Andrew?
But for right now...
I got the Flippers at four.
The Clippers? Oh,
come on, no.
The
he's
Flippers.
Got the Fins, the Fish,
oh,
the team that beat the...
I was like,
he's
Kawhi?
Got, he's got the Dallas the AFC Dallas Cowboys at four.
I got Miami at four, too.
Oh, if you guys.
Oh, look at
team.
You, Sonny. You tried to get smart and then you got slapped a little
no,
bit. There
no,
you go.
Detroit's at four. Detroit's at four.
See, I got Detroit at three, which, you know,
Detroit's
that's not a big
legit.
Difference. But
Detroit's
you know.
Legit. They've beaten KC already in KC.
I agree. That's why I have them at three.
Oh, all right. Well, I have Frisco at three.
No, Travis Kelce.
I have San Francisco at three.
And you've been really high on San Francisco in
right.
general, because
even
if
you
after
had to,
they lost the two games,
right,
you're still like, ah, they're still a top five team.
Fine, but if you had to pick one team to win the NFC right now, who would you pick?
The Eagles.
And then after that?
Detroit.
The Niners.
Okay, Ray's just fooling himself. Andrew, thank
you. No, I'm serious. When
you
it comes
said,
down to quarterback.
But you, okay, all right. You think, okay, that's fine.
I have Detroit
right,
at five.
I got you.
I mean, I may
you.
Have the Lions at three right now, but that's because they look better currently in the season. But, like, if we want to look at them at the height of their power and the other team at the height of their
so
power,
we both have the,
I'd
we
probably
all,
give the rub the Niners.
We all have the same top two then, right?
Well, my number three is Baltimore, by the way.
Well, we knew
oh, okay.
that.
Yeah. Everybody
so
has the same top two.
Houston
yeah.
Eagles
yeah.
at top two then? Yeah.
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 So... whoever wins this week is going to be the de facto number one unless something crazy happens.
Agreed.
All right. There you have it. Power rankings by Chairshot NFL.
Number fucking, was it nine you gave me or seven? What was it, Dodger?
That's your first.
I gave game. The yeah, Ravens
this,
seven.
If this show got titles like the rest of the shows we do, this show would be titled Your Friend Andrew? ?
Yes. You should still name it that because, boy, you think you know a person.
Well, all right. Honestly, last week I didn't have the Ravens at like number one either, like because I still don't like the fact that everything rides on Lamar. Then that's why I agree with you 1,000%. If Lamar has a slightly bad day or a slightly bad possession, then everything goes left.
You give
game.
Credit for Pittsburgh for doing what they
we're
do, but you don't give credit for
no.
Baltimore.
Nobody
not,
knows
no.
why
this
Pittsburgh
is
winning.
Yeah,
they're losing on
you guys
all
think
fronts
that
except
you don't
you, right now, that. I'm interjecting, and you guys are mad because you're like, he won't even let us argue for a minute, but it won't be a minute. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get through the rest of the schedule for week 11.
Steelers are going to beat your ass somehow.
Oh,
just watch
God.
Tony.
Just listen to this. We'll be back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, folks. PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You should change your at to at it's Ravens cash.
We win the Super Bowl. Best believe I will.
Okay.
Okay. I like that.
No, I guess it's staying the same. All right. PC Tony, Ray Cash, and Andrew Velez here on Cheer Shut Up. Sorry. That was mean, but it's what I feel. I can apologize, but I can't take it back. Very Larry David thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time to go. Are you guys ready to get those locks of the week in? Should we caution everybody for taking our picks? 2 weeks ago, though, Andrew, you went 2-1. Ray, you went 1-2. I also went 1-2. So I guess caution would be the word here.
I'm nothing else if not consistent. I've been 1-2 almost every week this week.
You started out like 3-0 the first week, didn't you?
I thought he was 0-3 the first week.
Okay, maybe I thought that I was last too, yeah, year. Maybe that was last year. Actually, Ray was fire last year. He was well above 500 last year, I do remember. But yeah, it's a tough. Well, let's
the
get
NFL
it right
makes
into
makes no sense this year. No sense.
So in the first segment of the show, we talked about the Ravens. In the second segment of the show, we talked about the Ravens.
We talked about the Ravens.
I have to get a beer and refill
so,
a little bit
wait,
of the Red
Solo
Cup.
Is the name of this
cup.
Show going to be That's So Ravens?
No, the name of this show is like Week 11 and Midseason Awards or something.
No, That's So Ravens. God damn it, but spell it with R-E-Y-V-A-N-S.
That is quite the dance, my friend.
That really is quite the dance. I have no words for it.
That is like, wow. It's like. Oh, I don't. I gotta get some more alcohol. Go ahead. Bengals at Ravens. I think the Ravens are -1. I think or something like that. I don't.
Three
know.
And a half. Three and a half.
Is it 3.5? I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's. I'm looking at CBS Sports right now. It's 3.5.
Okay.
Which basically means is. They think we're a half point better. It's as big as you can get. I mean, no disrespect to the Bengals, but like Ravens normally kill in revenge games. And like with the way they got their ass beat last week. And granted, the Bengals is a revenge game too. I would not be surprised if it was like 35-14. Like it's the one thing nobody can deny. Nobody can deny is the Ravens can and will get a lead.
No, Ray, I think the problem is keeping it. I think the stat you're looking for, and I heard, is like 5 of the last 6 games they've played after a loss, they've won by double digits.
Yes. Yes, we come back with the vengeance after a loss, especially bad ones. And again, we get a lead on everybody, at least 10 points every game.
but don't worry, folks, 30% of the time, you're golden.
Shit.
These are my friends, dog. Y'all here. They keep trying. They make me want to come back. Yet they keep saying come back every week. I keep trying to quit, and I come back out the goodness of my heart. And this is what they do to me.
Yeah,
Ravens. Ravens.
I think the Ravens are gonna win.
You're having fun.
I think they'll cover the 3.5, but I don't know if it'd be a blowout. I just the Bengals have looked better. They went on that, what, 4 or 5 game winning streak, whatever the fuck it was, and then they just lost to the Texans, which that was a gritty game, and the Texans are better than people give them credit for. But,
and Tyler Boyd dropped the easiest pass all he'll get all year.
He did. That was such a terrible fucking drop. Oh, my. Well, there's been a lot of terrible drops this last week. Like, Mike Evans dropped the fucking gimme, too. So,
like, and consequently, not only was that drop horrible, but the pick that Joe Burrow threw after that was one of the worst you'll ever see all year. So
true. And if that was a touchdown instead of a field goal, there'd be a whole different game, possibly. So, yeah. Yep, yep. So, the Bengals aren't bad. I just don't really know what to make of them just yet.
All right. So
I guess, you know, it'll make be a big thing. Like, if the Ravens can actually put the Bengals away, maybe they'll sneak into my top five. You never know.
We won't. We'll win by 75 and they'll put us at 6.
I would have to take the Ravens here.
Pittsburgh will win by 0.25 points and it'll be moved up 3 fucking spots.
This because it'd be impressive. They won by half a point somehow. Like, how do you even do that? Like, to Mason Rudolph with that concussion and somehow they earn him a point.
I would take the Ravens here if I was betting. I'd more likely bet the under. but I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals won. Thursday night game on Amazon. No more early Sunday games, so let's get to the early afternoon games. And the first one on my list here is the Chargers and the Packers. And by the way, that's right, Homer. Let me know.
Ooh, that's a big luck, all right.
I got the Chargers -3 at Lambeau. This Packers defense is horrible, and they're actually going to face a team that can move the ball this week. I would be really scared. I can see Herbert throwing for 4 touchdowns here, so I will take the Chargers, definitely cover the 3 points here up in Lambeau Field, which is going to be like sunny and 46, so it's not really going to be, even close to freezing. It's going to be a nice day out, actually, so the Chargers won't be in that much of shock.
Yeah, the only problem is, though, is that the Chargers can move the ball, but their defense isn't really known to be very good either, so Jordan Love might actually look pretty good.
We have Jordan Love, who's tied for the lead in interceptions, so no big deal.
Oh, I'm aware, but when he doesn't face a defense, as we've seen this year, like, he tends to look pretty all right. So there's a chance he might be sneaky.
Packers have scored more than 20 points 1 time this year.
Is that last week? Defense.
What's that?
Was that this past week?
No.
No, that was the Bears, wasn't it?
It was the first week. It was only against the Bears, and the Bears suck.
Okay. But
I'm not picking the Packers. I'm just saying Love could actually look a little better because the Chargers don't have a defense. But
can I give a hearty shout out to future Chargers coach Bill Belichick?
I've heard those rumors, I think he's retired. Well, that's if you believe that he wants to break the wins record.
He's built to keep coaching. They're probably going to have an amicable split, and he'll go coach L.A. so he can live on the coast and be good for his skins and his joints and whatnot.
Let's just agree that Stanley will not be the coach next year.
If they lose this game, he's going to be gone, just like Ken Dorsey was.
Well, they won't lose.
So I have the Chargers winning, too. I wanted to pick the Packers just to spite you, but I got the Chargers.
You can pick them. I don't care. It's your loss.
We know better, though. We've seen the Packers play this game.
The Packers win this game, and Edge is going to have them number 6.
There we go. I'll do that. The Packers win. They're in the top 10. That's how it works.
Okay, this show is just a sheer mockery now. Cowboys head to Carolina. I would love to see the Cowboys fucking step all over their dicks in Carolina, but I think this is probably one of the safest picks. Mike McCarthy will beat every bad team by a lot of points and lose to all the good teams. They are the Miami. Them and Miami are like sister teams. They have the same...
They're twin flames. I think that's what the kids say nowadays.
Repetition. Right?
I would pick this as a lock, but I didn't have 3 better ones.
Okay.
Ain't no way in hell the Cowboys making the spread.
What is back the spread back, at the moment?
10.5. Back-to-back dominant games by these Cowboys? Not happening.
Well, against, like, the junior varsity, yeah.
Yeah,
but the junior varsity still puts up garbage.
You know why,
points,
Ray?
Though.
Because look at this is just even this is the way it goes for Cowboys fans, you know? They put up big wins against shit teams, So they'll beat the Panthers really good. They'll beat the Commanders by double digits. They'll have a really convincing win against Seattle. And then Eagles will come to town. And they'll shit all over their fucking selves.
You're right, but they also have random games where they just shit the bed because it's a random Sunday. And Dak Prescott's due for a three interception game. He's due.
That's true.
Mark my words.
This could be a 20 to 14.
Mark my
words.
Game. December 10th, when we head into the game versus the Eagles, the Cowboys will be 9-3, and the talk will be, "Is this the year Dak gets Jarrett back to the Super Bowl?" And they'll probably lose by 85 to the Eagles. 90-5.
Hey, they lost by like 3 inches and a foot out of bounds last, what, 2 weeks ago. So like
90,
they actually did all of us thought
90-5. I have spoken.
Okay, write it down. Make it a lock for what, 3 weeks from now. It's
as Jalen Hurts 5, and they'll still be higher than
Baltimore. Jalen Hurts throws the as Jalen Hurts throws the ball out of the back of the end zone with
my four. Let's stop with it.
All right, I'm sure that's not a game anybody's really going to pay attention to. Here's a game Ray might be paying attention to. Them magical Steelers heading to Cleveland to take on them Browns with no quarterback. The Browns are still -1. Over under 33.
Who's starting a quarterback for Steelers? For Steelers.
For Steelers?
Kenny Pickett.
Is it Mason Rudolph?
Pickett, right?
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny
Pickett?
Do you think?
Kenny Pickett has... Guess who has the longest attempt streak without an interception right now in the NFL? Active attempt streak without an interception. It's Kenny Pickett.
Jordan Love.
Jesus.
It's Kenny Pickett.
Because it throws 5 a game. Do you think Miles Garrett can eat Kenny Pickett whole?
You could argue. You could have the same argument for Kenny Pickett that you have for. No, I'm not gonna piss you off.
I will hang.
You know what? I was gonna say that until I thought about the receivers that Kenny Pickett has, because Lamar'd be dangerous if he had Pickens and Johnson.
Well, I swear to God, you say okay, quit. I will delete my Twitter tonight if you would have gone in there with that.
Well, let me just say this: is that the boys from Steel Town are my first lock of the week. Because DTR ain't going to beat the Steelers because Tomlin's got that magic. He sold his soul to Satan or some shit like that just to get to at least 500. And they don't have 9 wins yet. So
the funny thing here would be if Pittsburgh outgained Cleveland and lost the game.
That would be amazing. That's exactly what's going to happen. And Browns defense is going to show you why they're... While Baltimore has the best defense, the Browns are the best in the league.
And having just watched the Steelers' offensive line, like, the reason the Steelers didn't whoop the Packers' ass is because Pickett couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards because that offensive line cannot pass block. Now, the Packers do have some, like, high-quality defensive linemen and pass rushers. Like, that is not a part of the Packers team that is lacking good talent. Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, guys of that nature that get to the quarterback. So... It's not like they were facing a subpar defensive rush against the pass. They're probably facing one of the top 10 in the league, but it's going to be a lot worse, like Ray said. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe they've found a way to continue to keep that off balance. Najee Harris and who's their backup? Hayward, right? Or change of pace back? He's pretty solid.
Jay, it's
or no, that James, Hayward's the other tight end.
Somewhere with an S. James S. Something like that.
I got it.
I'm looking at
it. Right, I already got it. Jalen Warren.
Jalen Warren, yes.
Yeah.
S is somewhere in there.
Well, he wears 30, so it's like a backward S, and you turn the bottom back around. Okay, Bears-Lions. Justin Fields is supposed to be playing here, but Lions -8, over under 48. I mean, I'm almost rooting for the Lions. Are we all just rooting for the Lions? I know Ray kind of is. Are you, Andrew? Like, I think
lock it up for me too, because it's the Bears and they trash. So.
Oh, you got to lock.
I'm gonna take the easy lock here. Yeah.
Lock a roo for Andrew. It's his number two lock, right? You had Pittsburgh first, and then you had Detroit. All right, Detroit -8.
Pittsburgh.
8 versus Chicago.
They find ways to win. I didn't want to pick them.
You know what's crazy, Andrew?
I picked against them a couple times this year, and they just fucking win out of nowhere.
Now that I've looked down, yeah, I also have Detroit -8 versus Chicago. I had mine written down before the show, so yeah, I agree with you there. I think Detroit wins easily by double digits. No, Ray, you don't think so? You think the Bears give him a game?
Oh, you feel differently?
Like, I'd love for DJ Moore to go off for, like, 29 catches and, you know, 400 yards receiving, 8 touchdowns.
I think the Browns, the Bears, are way more competitive than their record shows. They're not a good team.
That'd be 117 fantasy points, by the way, Ray, just for DJ Moore.
I'm glad you did the math in your mind, Mr. Did you get your tests scored on curves?
Perfect, perfect calculus, Tony.
I think that they are more competitive. Now, in terms of being a good team or not, yeah, doesn't matter. But in terms of hitting a spread, it does. So I am not convinced they're going to lose by 8.
Who do we get for second half Hard Knocks? Do we know?
I may have to go, y'all.
Well, I guess he doesn't like Hard Knocks. No, that one didn't.
I mean, I didn't even know they were doing a second half one, honestly, because I really don't follow that too much.
They did last year, too. Well, Ray may or may not be back. I hope everything's okay over there. He's got the Raiders plus 13. Oh, jeez, Louise. Okay, he's got Las Vegas plus 13. He's got the Bucks plus 11.5. He's taking all the disrespectful, and he's got the Jets.
God, this is such a Ray lock.
Plus 7. All right.
All the disrespect, he's locking up.
We got you. Ray, we got you. If you can hear, we got you. Hope everything's okay. He's got to go. He's got to take care of some shit. All right, Andrew, we'll keep going here. You and I, you got.
But
you
it looks like it's the Dolphins for the second half of Hard Knocks. Like I didn't even realize they did that because I barely watch that show.
He has to attend to some shoot work, apparently. So, all right, let's keep moving though. I think Arizona was last year's midseason Hard Knocks.
Probably why I didn't pay attention. Yeah, they were shit last year too.
Yeah, they were. That was the whole debacle with Kyler and everything, or maybe it was the year before. But the Cardinals are taking on the Texans here. Texans at home, 5-4. This would be a real shot in the foot, like a shooting yourself in the foot kind of game if they didn't win. But Kyler Murray's back, so it does pose more problems here. How do you feel about this game? Texans minus 5, over under 49.
I feel like the Texans have to win this. Like, Murray didn't look great in his first start back. Like, he looked pretty good, serviceable, better than I think other people thought, especially with the Modern Warfare joke that it was released a couple days before the game. But the Cardinals still kind of suck, and the Texans need this. It's a game they should win. So I'm gonna go with the Texans because they've looked good last couple weeks. They've beat teams that were good or supposedly better than them. So hopefully they don't play to the quality of the opponent and get rolled out of nowhere.
Is that your third lock?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. All right. I like the Texans here, too. I hope CJ continues his groove. Jaguars minus 7 after a big loss here against the Titans. Titans don't look great, though. Over under 40. I think Jacksonville gets healthy here. I don't know if they cover, but
I don't think they cover. And I think it's going to be an under kind of game, but I don't know. If Levis has a game like he did, his first start? This could be a problem for Jaguars. Because the Jaguars, you know, when they shit the bed, they shit the bed for a little bit.
But that's against a really good team. I think we see the Jacksonville Jaguars we've seen throughout the rest of the season here. You know, they were on a pretty good win streak. They were bound to have a letdown at some point. So that's my perspective on them.
It's a little positive. I don't mind it. I don't hate it. But, yeah, I definitely don't think the Jaguars cover. So I'd take the Texans. Okay. It's not a lock.
Or
the Titans. Yeah. Wrong team.
Ray is taking the Raiders plus 13 at Miami, and I don't know about that. Over under 46.5, I take the over here. How about you?
I take the over, but, like, I mean, what, Antonio Pierce is 2-0 as a Raiders head coach, right?
Yeah, that's going to wear off once they play somebody. I mean,
yeah, no, I agree with you. So, like, I get that maybe it's just riding the hype train and that 13 is really disrespectful, but the Dolphins blow everybody out that suck, so this should be a blowout.
I mean, you beat the Giants and the Jets, so.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. They beat nobody.
It's funny because they beat like both New York teams and now they're going to play New York South. So, you know. It'd be funnier if they were playing. It'd be funny if they were playing like Tampa or Jacksonville because that's more populated with old people than Miami. But, you know.
They should have played Buffalo next. They should have just finished out New York in one trip.
Western New York. But like Ray said before early in the show, that's almost Canada. Not the French-speaking part. But anyway.
Yeah.
Giants at Commanders. Who would have thought that the Commanders would have been favored by 9 points at any point in this season? Over under 37.
I thought I read this wrong the first time I looked at the line. I'm like, there's...
Here's the thing, though. Like, the Commanders can put up points, and the Giants, they can't do anything.
No. The Commanders can put up yards. The Giants have thrown for, like, what, -8 yards at some point? And then fucking Danny DeVito's kid fucking threw for 86 in a whole fucking game?
Yeah, I know.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I know. They got to find somebody like there that can actually...
numbers.
I know. I need them to find a quarterback that's, like, stable enough that Saquon can still get some decent fantasy stats. Because right now, it's really rough there. And I just trade... So, what do you think of this? I traded... And while we were on the bye, in fantasy football, it's a 10-team league, all really good, all expert players. If you want to say expert, is they've played more than everybody's played 15 to 20 seasons of fantasy football. You know, so sure. People know what they're doing. And you get to keep three people next year. I traded Patrick Mahomes and Najee Harris for Saquon Barkley and TJ Hockenson. I have CJ Stroud on my team.
Okay, that's fine. Saquon needs a quarterback, though, because they'll just play the run and then nothing will happen.
Right, but now I have options for keepers next year because I also have Christian McCaffrey.
He's probably a keeper, yeah.
I mean, that's number one keeper right there, the season he has.
Unless he gets hurt, yeah.
But he's gotten hurt in the past and come back. But I hope he doesn't. Yeah, let's just say he doesn't. Stroud, likely, if he continues on this trajectory. And then after that, I don't know. Like you said, what happens in New York? What's up with Saquon? Is Hockenson maybe the guy? Because he's proven himself to be a top three tight end now. Because no longer are the days of Kelsey, Andrews, and Kittle. Kittle's barely functional. He has a good week here and there. Hockenson's up there.
I mean, but when he has a good week, he has a big fucking week,
Yeah, but it's
though.
Once every, like, 7 weeks. I've had him the past 2 years. He's not been good.
The Niners
he had
have
that
too many
here.
Options right now.
They
that's
have
why.
McCaffrey. McCaffrey has 13 touchdowns, you know.
But no, that's I'm just getting at that. Yeah. The Niners are a little bit like the Patriots, where they have so many weapons they can utilize in different positions, Kittle gets overlooked a little bit. I still think you have to consider him a top three tight end, even if his
not
numbers
fantasy.
Don't always back it up.
Not fantasy-wise.
Oh, not in fantasy. Okay,
yeah,
for fantasy,
saying.
I
yeah,
get
I
that perspective.
Fantasy,
yes.
So anyway, all right.
What's Laporta doing in fantasy?
Laporta's solid. He's top. He's for a rookie, especially. Like he's up there. I mean, honestly, if you want to know, should we go to points for tight ends here for so far in fantasy football? I can look.
I mean,
this
just
up
give me an idea because he's been kind of impressive. I like whenever I see him, I like what he does. So I'm curious if he's top five at least points wise, or if he's just.
All right. Okay. So Hockenson is number one by 22 points. Over Kelsey.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So
that's
a pretty good trade for me, actually.
Agreed.
Like even if because I have Stroud. You know who else I have? I have Dobbs as well, who's the ninth highest scoring quarterback in fantasy though.
The fucking Pastronaut, look at you.
Kelsey's 2, Andrews is 3. So there you go. Laporte is 4.
Oh, there we go. That's fucking good for a rookie.
Cole Kmet.
Especially because it took
Cole,
him a little
Cole
Kmet is 5?
In Chicago is 5.
Wow.
Kittle is 6, Dalton Schultz is 7.
Wow.
Taysom Hill is top 10. Taysom Hill is top 10.
Of course he is. He does fucking everything.
Right? Craziness.
He All does right. everything except, like, the Zamboni or whatever the fuck you need to clear the fucking shit in the fucking day.
Well, this was a nice little fantasy break after we finished our early afternoon games. So just so you people know, we got bye weeks again here. Colts, Falcons, Patriots, Saints. Nah. Nothing. So go enjoy your weekend before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving next week, by the way, Andrew.
It is true. Yeah.
So we might have, I don't know. I got to record DWI on Wednesday next week. So maybe do you think it's possible we could just have a big, huge one show that we do two parts and put them out for 2 days? Like a wrestling meets football show next Wednesday?
Potentially.
Okay. I like how you cautiously said that.
I don't ever set myself up for anything. You know that.
All right. Okay. Then never mind. How about same time next Wednesday?
Okay, I can do 7, yeah. And if it happens to be a gigantic show that has wrestling and football, oh God, oh no. It's like surprise party. I didn't know you'd be here.
Surprise! Oh, no. Surprise! I told you ahead of time so you didn't freak out.
Shit. I don't have to freak out. There's this little hang-up button. I can use that. It's fine. Just be like, I didn't park my car here. Goodbye.
Oh, Ray knows. Ray knows.
Oh, yes. Ray is fully aware.
Afternoon games. Bucks, Niners. All right, pal. Here's your game. Oof. This is, we're 4-5. This would be a huge... This could be a turning point. If you head to San Francisco, defense steps up. Baker's connecting with the receivers. You get a little bit of a run game from White. I don't know.
You're funny. I mean... Especially with the way that the Niners looked last week. Like, their defense is pretty scary with Young now. And Bosa, of course. Baker's, I think, going to get it out a little quicker than, certain people. And I don't know.
I mean, Evan's at least
too inconsistent.
At least you stopped the 4-game skid. I mean, they should be feeling better about
themselves.
That's good.
And when the Bucks do face good teams, they lose by like 14. So well, 11 and a half, Ray, I can't even say that's disrespectful.
Ray is hoping that's not the case because he's taking the Bucks plus the 11 and a half.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't my lock, and I wouldn't bet on it, but I don't feel strongly either as a Bucks fan. So like, I feel like the Niners are still going to roll in this game. Hopefully they don't from the Bucks fan perspective, but I'm not going to get my hopes up.
That's a tough thing. Right? Like, you have to pick against the spread in this game. What do you take? Yeah, I guess I would take the Niners because it feels more likely they win by 12 than the Buccaneers, lose by 11, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bucs don't really keep it close when they lose. They kind of get blown out, except for the fucking Falcons game, but that's because the Falcons suck. So yeah. That game should have not happened that way.
Jets at Bills. We haven't talked about this yet, and Rodgers came out today and said that if we're in the mix in mid-December, I'm coming back. And Salah said if he wants to play, he's going to fucking play. Minus the F-bomb.
He didn't say that in so many words, though. Rodgers.
No, he did.
Because he clarified on the McAfee show.
Right, and he said we'd have to be in the mix.
He said we'd have to be in the mix.
Right.
Yes.
So that
and
just tells me that, yes, that means he was if they're in the mix, he's coming back, period.
But he didn't put a time frame on it, though, because he said it depends
mid-December.
On how his rehab or whatever goes.
Mid-December.
If he has a good week, then maybe that next week is going to be the thing. But if he has a bad week, then maybe it's a week delayed.
But if
so
everything goes as
really
planned,
well on that word.
But if everything goes as planned and they're in the mix, he plans on coming back and Salah plans on letting him play. And why wouldn't you?
I don't blame Salah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But,
I know, I agree.
Now, instead of giving two shits about the Bills or the Jets, who are 4-5 and 5-5, and after the Bills bye week could have the same fucking record, let's explore the rest of the Jets' schedule. How about that?
Sure.
At the Bills, that's a loss. Now we're 4-6, right?
With the way that the Bills looked the last couple weeks?
Maybe not. Hard to say, but
maybe not.
I mean,
it's winnable.
Had to pick, no spread. What would you pick?
I say it's winnable. So fuck it. I'll give them the win. The Bills have pissed me off.
Then they host the Dolphins.
That's a loss.
They host the Falcons.
That's a win.
That's a win. They host the Texans.
That's a toss up.
Yeah, that's a toss up. They go to Miami. That's a loss.
Yeah, because the Dolphins can score. Even in the games that they lose against good teams, they still put up like what 17 or 20 something points. So that's a big ask for the Jets offense.
Here's where Rodgers comes back. There's three games left, and there's a possibility of them making the playoffs. It's Christmas Eve. The game's at noon. They host the Washington Commanders. The following week, they play at Cleveland, and then they finish the season at New England. Rodgers comes back, wins all three of those cupcake games, even though they're going to have to play Sunday, Thursday, week 16 and 17. That's the tough one. Can Rodgers play 4 days after a game, after his first game back? If that's his first game back. I think his first game back would be at Miami.
I think that would be the best for the Jets, because if the Texans game's a toss-up and the Bills is a toss-up, let's just assume they win one of them, but then they'll lose three. So that makes them 6-8. Is 6-8 in it enough for Rodgers to think that 9-8 is a playoff game?
Well, they're 4-5, right? So they have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. So two and three would be 6-8. No, so best they could do is 9-8, is that enough for...
No. If they go 2-2 over the next 4 weeks, they'd head into Miami at 6-7.
Well, true. That's if he comes back for the Dolphins. But if he doesn't come back for the Dolphins, then would be able to come back for the Commanders.
6-8.
Do you think 6-8 is still
I think in that's where you have to look seventh? At... That's like I'll answer it like he did. We'll have to be in the hunt.
Okay. Now that's a very Rodgers answer. Good for you. You've paid attention over the 15 years on how he speaks. But it's just that's dicey. Like, I feel like they'd have to win something that you're not expecting them to win. Or
no,
he'd have
I
to
agree.
Come back by the
I
Dolphins
agree.
Game. No, the no, second I, Dolphins game.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. And they've shot themselves in the foot, with a number of games. But that's what happens when Zach Wilson's your quarterback. So, all right. Seattle taking on the Los Angeles Rams in Los Angeles, reverse records, a little record, Gami, 6-3, 3-6. Rams plus one at home. Stafford's back. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Seattle lost, but I would take Seattle here. I think they're going to go in and win.
I'm taking Seattle as my third lock just because it is a coin flip.
All right.
And the Rams have not won shit when it's close, which they've just been that competitive bad team this year. Like, they had some of us wondering early on in the year when they were like, 2-2 or 1-3 or whatever the fuck they were, when they were putting up competitive games, and we're just like, oh, there might be something here. Like, they got a little bit of grit to them, but they never win those close games or against like the good teams that matter. So I feel like this is gonna be the same thing.
Back in the Puka Tutu Cooper days.
Yeah. And don't they also have Skoronic? That's a good name, too.
Is it? Yeah, okay. All right. Let's head to our Sunday night game, in which the last lock of the week will be revealed, as I will take the Vikings on the road, plus the 2.5 at Denver. I agree with you. The job that, like, my second in coach of the year was Kevin O'Connell. Followed by Dan, followed by Dan Campbell, to be honest with you. So my 1-2-3 was our picks for coach of the year. Dobbs can play. He's completing passes, and the dude can run. He runs for touchdowns. Like, this team might be more dynamic, even though Kirk Cousins was on pace to win the MVP if they would have made the playoffs the way he was playing.
His lack of mobility limits them a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, dude, Justin Jefferson's scheduled to come back this week. The Vikings could be super fucking dangerous if they could find a running game.
I agree with you. And I'm happy because it also makes my early preseason playoff picks look better, because I was like the only one in the group that picked the Vikings.
They're right there.
I was like, the Vikings look like shit early. But look at now, look at now.
No, I mean, yeah. And if we went to, like I said, if we went to the playoffs tomorrow, the Vikings would be in. The Vikings are in by like two games, by the way. It's a safe bet. It's a safe bet to think that the seven teams that are in the playoffs right now in the NFC will be the seven teams in the playoffs in the NFC.
That's probably very accurate because the NFC isn't nearly as competitive as the AFC.
And the AFC, that's a tough road to hoe because you got a lot of interesting things going on when you get to the non-division leaders.
You know, I will say this, though, even though I agree that the three we talked about were kind of my three for head coach of the year so far, my dark horse outside pick is also Sean Payton, depending on if the Broncos can continue this upward trajectory. Because they started off slow. They've won some good games. Russ hasn't looked bad. Russ even completed one of his, like, classic bullshit, like, rainbow lollipop balls in the fucking side for fucking some toe drag swag, and that was a touchdown. So, like, if he can pull this out of the darkness and bring them into, like, a decent team with, like, a playoff run, I think he's, like, a sneaky choice, possibly, for coach of the year.
Well, they got the Vikings, like we talked about. Then they have the Browns, the Texans, Chargers, Lions, Patriots, Chargers, Raiders.
These are all winnable games. You know they are. That's why you don't really have like a quick snap and comeback.
I don't see them beating the Browns, even with P.J. Walker.
I mean, P.J. Walker, maybe.
Houston at home should take care of them. The Chargers games are both like a flip. They'll split. At Detroit, yeah. They're not winning at Detroit. I'll give them the Patriots and the Raiders. So that's like 8 wins max. That's not making the playoffs.
Again, the Lions also have random times when they shit the bed, like we saw earlier this year when they've scored fucking 6 points out of nowhere. So if they have an off game, it's possible they just get caught. The Browns, their defense can't save them all the time, and it's going to be in Mile High. I'm pretty sure, right? Yeah. So if the offense can't hold the ball enough and the defense gets gassed, even the best defense isn't going to be able to stop shit. So this is all, you know, magical Christmas land kind of bullshit.
I understand.
But that's what I'm saying. If the Broncos pull it out of the darkness and make a decent playoff run.
You're rooting for a story here. I get you. I get it.
I mean, from foot I think everybody mouth, we talked about foot, is a story, though.
From foot and mouth to coach of the year.
Exactly. But, like, everybody we talked about is a story, because Kevin O'Connell is a story because they started off like shit, then lost Cousins, and now Dobbs is coming up.
I think the biggest story...
Campbell's
a
story.
Let's put it this way. The Texans make the playoffs. D'Amico Ryans is coach of the year, period.
Probably. Yeah, I don't really argue that. Unless the Lions also... Then it's Campbell or D'Amico, and then it's... I think that's an argument.
The Lions would have to be the one seed. I don't think so. I think you guys are... I think that... I don't know. Dan Campbell's third on my list for a reason.
But the narrative, and sometimes... I mean, a lot of this goes to, like, the API, Associated Press people, so...
Yeah, well,
they like the narrative more, so, yeah. Like, the Lions have sucked for forever. It'd be nice, you know, that this biting kneecaps fucking drug them to playoffs.
All right, let's get into the final game of the week. It is a gift from the NFL... An early Christmas gift to ABC /ESPN and Disney.
Yup.
Philadelphia Eagles head to the center of the country to take on the Kansas City Chiefs in what is largely regarded the two best teams in the entire league. I have a feeling this will draw a very high rating, Andrew.
I wonder why, yeah. You think it's a Super Bowl rematch, and it's the best two teams.
Well, and not to mention the brothers Kelsey will be facing each other. I would imagine T Swift will be in the house. This is going to be one of the highest rated regular season NFL games in history.
So now over under, would Kylie and Taylor Swift actually hang out together, or will they not be in the same box?
Oh, because of the tweets they found.
Because just generally speaking, because it's not like Travis and Jason hate each other and they're all family. So like,
are you talking about Jason's wife? They'll hang out together for sure. They'll be fine. But did you hear the rumors about not even the rumors, the things of the breaking news about Patrick Mahomes' wife,
Brittany?
Yes.
What
like
about her exactly?
Like 8-10 years ago, she said she tweeted out that Taylor Swift is overrated. And she wished she'd make up songs about something more than breakups and boys.
Oh my God! Do you mean she said something edgy when she was like 19 or 20? Because that's what all 19 or 20 year olds do.
Yeah, that's what happened. Conversation. Yep, that's it. That's it. I'm not trying to have a serious conversation here.
Oh, good, 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 good. Because like anybody that thinks that's a talking point needs to grow the fuck up. Because she's not wrong. Like, there's reasons I don't listen to Taylor Swift's bullshit because it's not my demographic.
Is there any chance the entire Kelce family is in the box together?
I would assume so. Like, right? I don't think they're going to draw like a Philly so Kansas City line. Like,
No. So why wouldn't it? Why would it be surprising to have Jason's wife,
Tyree, Jason's wife,
yeah, in the same box with her mom and dad, with her mother and father-in-law?
She seems a little more hard edge than the other ones. From if you've seen, have you seen the Kelce's
show? But then that would be the picture of the press of the luxury suite, where every part of the suite is everybody just kind of hanging out, casual NFL fan, and then in this lower right corner, looking down at the field, would be her, like just watching the game, like just the whole time,
funny.
Not talking to anybody.
I'm not bringing up a real talking point. I just think it'd be funny because she seems to definitely have more of that East Coast kind of like Philly attitude and grit to her. So she might be like, no, fuck you, you're the enemy. Even if it's playful. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it'd be interesting. And it'd be something for them to talk about on their podcast.
Well,
which
is great.
Really well.
Yeah, it's a great podcast, actually. Those guys, they're just like normal. Like the Watts, too. The Watts seem normal as well. The Watts, I know the Watts. I don't know the Watts, but I know.
You know them? They're your best friends?
I know who they are because they grew up like right down the road, so.
Fair enough. But yeah, I agree. The Kelce's come off very just normal and easily approachable type people.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they do something just to talk about it, regardless of who wins. But yes, I got the Chiefs because I just think the Chiefs have looked like a better team because the Eagles haven't completely impressed me this year. They've won a lot of close games, which, yeah, good teams find ways to win games. I agree with that statement. But I feel like the Chiefs got a little better showing this year so far. So
we'll
that's
see.
Where my money's at.
They both feel more susceptible than they did last year. So we'll see what happens. Chiefs with the drops. Eagles, like Ray said the other week, Hurts is Hurts. He's kind of running on paper, paper clips and bubblegum, as Platt would say. But we'll see what happens. All right. I think
so
we had
your pick.
I pick the fans to have a really good time. I think it should be a great game.
Okay, now the real answer.
I would say
you're not telling people to put money on it, but you know, like who would you pick if you had to pick?
The winning team.
The team scores most points. Yeah, they're good. Good. You're really in like that.
So I think
somebody's
gonna win by at least three. So. It'll be covered either way.
Good. It's going to cover the spread.
Yeah, either way.
You know.
So the winner, whoever you pick, and they're going to win. If they win, then you win.
You and your deflective dad joke mode bullshit. Whoever wins, wins. And
maybe,
the team scores most points.
Maybe you'll hit your fucking cue next week. Power rankings.
Oh, that's the whole reason that you're like this.
No,
what's it been for the last 5 fucking years?
No, it's not. Well done. I was like, no, it's not. But I figured I'd throw it out there while we're on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. That's Chair Shot NFL Week 11. Ray Cash, you can follow him at it's Ray Cash. Any last thoughts, Andrew?
No, not really. Like. Thursday and Monday are actually good games.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad we get bookended with good quality football instead of limping through some bullshit to hopefully find out a weird primetime game that nobody wants to watch looking at you last couple weeks. But
no, and everything else in between is kind of a, I don't know, is there another marquee game? Like, Steelers, Steelers, Browns. That's it, really. Everything else that it's at like 1 or 4 Eastern, Chargers, Packers, Cowboys, Panthers, Bears, Lions, Cardinals, Texans, Titans, Jaguars.
And the sad thing is Steelers, Browns is screwed a little bit because Watson's hurt. So,
right.
Take some of the zing out.
Like Bucks, Niners, Jets, Bills are probably the best mid games. So we'll see.
Yeah, they've got weight to them, but I'm not really sure yet.
But Andrew, you never know, because last week we had 6 games ended by a
field goal.
Yes, like as time expired, it broke the record. It doubled the record. The record was 3. They doubled it. So
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's good or bad when you really think of it. Like, it's good for parody, I suppose, but like,
well,
it's not good for a talk show when we have to figure out who's good and who's bad, and like, no, everybody's kind of meh.
But since we started doing Chair Shot NFL a couple of years ago, not last year, I think the year before, I've said it. Pete Rozelle's dream is in full effect. The NFL has parity, and you got good games across the board every week, even if you don't anticipate them coming in. So,
true.
Our bye week is done. We will be back next week. Andrew, let everybody know where they can find you.
On the Twitter. At IWC War Chief.
On the X?
Oh, the X. Yeah, that's right. We're also not doing the German voices anymore. Like, I missed another German week.
Yeah, because we passed with 9. We no longer have plans to talk about 9.
9. They didn't even score 9 points. Well, they barely scored 9 points, one of the teams. Like, that was a terrible game. Never waking up in the morning to watch things from Berlin ever again. But, yeah, on the X, we have the nice IWC War Chief. And, I don't know. Maybe I'll cover like Impact. Oh, going back to TNA though. Here we go.
I heard
the thing that everybody's called it anyway for the last 5 years, but now it's gonna be official.
And now, like,
it's like, you know, dating and finally getting engaged. Like, you know, it's official now.
And now like 24 of slightly past their prime superstars have like tweeted, my goal for the next year is to be the new TNA World's Champion.
I mean, it's marginally funny, but then again, who did AEW just sign? Ric Flair. Come on.
I get it.
And who's selling their pay-per-view for next year? Sting and a retirement thing.
Well,
let's kind of look at the real retirement home here.
Okay. Well, you can follow me at PC Tunny. You can follow this show at Chairshot NFL. Yeah, it's been an interesting season. It's only going to get better, so continue to listen right here, Chairshot Radio Network, every week.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.